I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What? New thing, Jim. The television.
Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed, forsaken.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threat, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
Sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here's a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
If I've asked you once, I've asked you 1,000 times. Don't push buttons that are unmarked. You don't know what they do. Constantly pushing buttons here, there, everywhere.
Like this?
No. Just stay away from that button. Okay, well, we were thrown off the air several times during the opening of this program, but everything seemed to be back on track. This is Chris T. on Aerial View on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. And today we were going to engage in an hour of pre-Pearl Harbor anniversary Japan bashing right here on the air, 201-678-7743. And Japan, what a strange and wonderful land. All right, Tokyo.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Recesses of our mind think of Japan as the vanquished in a war. That somehow that arrogance that we had.
We're back on WFMU Uppsala College East Orange, and you're listening to Aerial View. And today's topic, well, what else could it possibly be with the 50th anniversary of Pearl Harbor tomorrow, December 7th? That's right, 1941. Was the year when the Empire of Japan suddenly and viciously attacked the naval base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Many lives lost. Don't ask me how many. I'm not really sure. But it's been all over the news. I'm sure you've heard about it by now. And there's been a lot of Japan bashing going on recently. People have used this whole thing as a wonderful excuse to basically examine Japan from every angle, whether economic or morally or socially or however you'd like. And what's been coming up lately is a lot of negative reviews of the country. I mean, everybody loves Shonen Knife, so that like goes without saying. But besides that, what are your true feelings about the country? And do you really think that they're taking jobs away from Americans and flooding our country with cheap imports and basically winning the war that they lost? I mean, this is the opinion of a lot of people, including David Duke, who, when he announced his running for president, or he's going to seek the GOP nomination, which is really not the same thing as running for president, but when he declared this, along with saying, "I am not a racist," he, in the course of his 45-minute news conference, he ridiculed what he called the broken English of Japanese Americans. He also grossly mispronounced the last name of New York Governor Mario Cuomo. That I would have liked to hear. But what he said about his opposition to the free trade agreement was a taunting, if not insulting, message sent to Japan. He said, and I quote David Duke, "I come from Louisiana," he said. "We produce rice. We must go to the Japanese and say, 'You know buy our rice, we know buy your cars.'" And there you have it. Strong words indeed. And a lot of people feel this way. He thinks that, well, David Duke thinks this country is unraveling. He thinks we're losing our overwhelmingly European descent and overwhelmingly Christian background, our underpinnings. So 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. I've been very ill for the last week. I've been in bed with the flu, so I've missed a lot of things. Maybe Mr. Gerard would like to catch us up. What's happened in the last week? What have we missed? He's walking around the room.
I can't speak for everybody. I've just been trying to get back in touch with my Christian underpinnings and my European roots and
or is that roots?
My roots.
Let me get my papers out here because I have prepared myself for this show. The things I want to talk about, and it's a good thing I have this note because this reminds me that there's a new Godzilla movie coming out. Have you heard about this?
Now,
even plugged in?
Is he a Japanese character?
By the way, Gerard is Japanese, which is why I've asked him to sit down on this program. Kozloy was the name given to you, what, at Ellis Island when your grandfather came to this country?
I was adopted by...
The Kozloys?
I was adopted by, I don't know where they're from. I mean, whoever they are, they adopted.
Would you prefer to be Gerard Wang?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think if I ever find my natural parents,
you can go back to using your actual name. Yeah,
and my real parents, of course, were you know, blown away.
But I'm sure
when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
Really?
And I personally think I'm owed an apology by President Bush.
Or a few $1,000s.
I'll take either one.
Okay. You know, those two bombs really created the Japanese film industry, because without them, they wouldn't have had all those radioactive monsters, and Godzilla is, of course, one of those. You could probably make a case for the whole economic rebirth of Japan being linked to the fact that we bombed them twice.
So you're saying the Japanese should be thanking us?
That we bombed them atomically twice?
If only the Germans had been so lucky, is what you're saying.
Well, the Germans aren't doing so bad. They're not doing bad at all.
No, not at all.
But the new Godzilla movie, and the last one I saw was called Godzilla 1984 or something. You remember that one? There's a new one coming out. The plot line is basically as follows, and I didn't write it down. I'm reciting it from memory. But the plot line is that Godzilla shows up in the Philippines in 1944, and he rescues a group of Japanese soldiers that are pinned down by American troops. And then he's somehow time-transported into the 23rd century, where these people with exaggerated American accents try to enlist him in their fight to have the Japanese buy American computers. Now, is this a great idea for a Godzilla movie or what?
Did Andy Breckman write the screenplay for this?
I'm not really sure. If Andy's listening, maybe he wants to tell us that he wrote the screenplay for this latest Godzilla flick.
Wait, I've got it. I just thought of the tagline for the ad, for the trailers.
What?
Tell me what you think of this. Godzilla is back.
I like that. It's really simple, but it says it all. Putting the god back in Godzilla. But the whole idea that they're going to enlist him in this sort of anti-American thing, and I had heard that this movie may not be seen outside of Japan, that this is something they may decide they don't want Americans to see. Because, I mean...
Well, I think they could make two different versions. I mean, with dubbing in the voices and all, they could probably have two different films.
That is something that you're probably absolutely right about that. I think, you know, with the special effects wizardry of Industrial Light and Magic, that wouldn't be a problem.
I mean, sure. It has to be a hit in America. I mean, big in Japan. I mean, who's big in Japan? Cop Shoot Cop?
I can't wait to see these exaggerated accented space aliens. I can't wait to see what these space aliens with their exaggerated American accents are going to be like. This is going to be a gas if they ever show that.
What is an exaggerated American accent?
Let's find out. Let's ask this person. Hello.
Hello, Chris. This is Tess. I think you're a racist.
I think what?
They think you're a racialist.
I thought he said a rhesus, like monkey or something. A rhesus. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. And Gerard sat down to talk about Japan for a while. What are your feelings on working for the Japanese?
I like working for the Japanese.
You work for the Japanese now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You want to mention the company?
No, I don't want to mention the company, but it's when you think of Japanese companies, it's the big one.
It's the big one.
It's the big one. If you own a lot of home electronics, you could probably guess, you know, what company it is.
Now, this wouldn't be the one whose owner wrote that really anti-American book, the one about how we're so easy to take advantage of and we're puny and wastes of space and time and energy and...
Well, I hope he wasn't referring to me, I hope.
No. There was a chapter devoted to you where he specifically let you out of all the rest.
Yeah, I think it's a different outfit.
I think it's the same outfit. But what's it like working for the Japanese? You're probably one of the few people I know that actually do.
Well, see, I actually never see any of the actual Japanese. I mean, you know, they have installed American management, or at least people who look like Americans and have fake American names. So I never have to actually.
But they all go to these training sessions in the morning and do calisthenics and stuff, right? I mean, they all.
No, it hasn't gotten that far.
That'll make you do that.
It hasn't gotten that far. Although I have been told that I can no longer spend any time with my family. I have been told that.
Really?
Yeah.
But has your disposable income just skyrocketed?
Yeah, but I never have any time to spend it because I'm always just, you know, working nonstop.
You can't get any Hello Kitty items?
I can get that stuff at an employee discount. I mean, I didn't want to say that I work for Sanrio. I didn't want you to mention that on the air.
I'm sorry, the cat is out of the bag.
The kitty, as it were.
You know, if you want a really great Japanese experience, if you want to feel like you've been thrown into the middle of Tokyo, there's a place in Edgewater called Yowen Plaza. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's just this Japanese shopping center. It's huge. It's like three football fields. You know how, as Americans, we always like to describe things in terms of football fields. We can't really think otherwise in terms of. So there's like three football fields of Japanese shopping center. They have like a Japanese department store, Japanese record store, Japanese toy store, and supermarket where they have like, they actually have like, you can buy like locusts, you know,
locusts.
Well, they're you know.
That's a delicacy, isn't it?
I guess it is. These people are so strange and foreign
like,
to us.
I'd like one locust burger.
So unlike us. But you could walk through there and be the only Occidental in the place. It's amazing.
Well, I think the reason I got the job with Sanrio, I mean, I do public relations for the whole, you know, the whole line of Hello Kitty products. I probably got the job because of my own sort of exaggerated, you know, American behavior.
Right. Well, you're very good at conversational English, which they really like, you know.
Yeah, it's the rest of the English I have trouble with. But
well, the like legal English, you mean like you couldn't be a lawyer?
No, English where I actually have to say something with any sort of substance involved.
Besides, like, how about those Mets, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm very good at the how about those.
Yeah.
You know, how about that William Kennedy Smith?
Well, this is a whole area of language that the Japanese would love to conquer. They would just love to be able to do how about those.
Well, I'm sort of you know, their liaison, you know. I'm sort of their guy who's over here helping to introduce.
Hey, how about that radio program? Wait a minute, we have a caller here. Hello?
Chris T., how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
What was I going to say now? I forgot.
You totally forgot?
No, here we go now. You started off talking about, you know, this program is about the Japanese and I guess how there's this sudden hatred or some such thing. And I'm just amazed at, you know, how ridiculous people are that, you know, once things start going wrong, you know, we turn around and blame someone else.
Well, we don't have to wait for things to go wrong, do we? Can't we blame them before things go wrong?
Or if you'd like to, but that's terribly boring, though.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, well, look at what we had after the Second World War. We were the only people with an economy. So we've had it easy, Chris. We've had it so easy up till about the early 70s.
So now it's our turn to suffer. Is this what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. But people have to realize that, you know, part of the capitalist economy is competition, severe competition. And as competition has grown worldwide, now we're feeling it, and we're feeling it bad.
But isn't it unfair competition? I mean,
No, absolutely not.
It's not
unfair
competition, Chris. When American industry learns how to
when American industry learns how to build a better plush toy.
Well, that's part of the
problem.
What
are you going to say? The Sanrio.
We America can't compete. America doesn't have a Hello Kitty.
My point is that over the years, as we have gotten stronger.
Wait a minute. Hey, that's the problem, Gerard. He can't hear you. That's why this caller
keeps
talking.
Oh, Gerard's speaking?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I can't hear him.
Go ahead. Repeat what you were saying for the caller. Not you, caller.
Sorry.
I was just going to say that when American industry can build a kitty with no facial expressions whatsoever, okay, when we're able to do that, okay, then we can really, you know, compete with Japan. But until then, we have no choice but to give in and give all of our money to Sanrio.
And just say, yes, give me those dolls now.
Well, I think they're at the cutting edge of toy technology, our representative points out, a representative of Sanrio. Not only home electronics technology, which isn't really true, because there's no high-end Japanese stereo company, is there? I mean, the high-end stuff is all American, isn't it?
Like Zenith?
No. I'm talking high-end. I'm talking audiophile. Uh-huh. Well, there's Nakamichi. Wait a minute.
Well, still, we do so much research over here. Well, actually, that's not even true anymore. We spend less per dollar on research than
Well, you know what? This country is headed towards, and I hate to be one of those people who talk about the future of America type of thing, we're headed towards basically being a land of customer service reps.
Well,
and,
sure.
And people who do desktop publishing. And everyone will have a really great-looking resume.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're headed for.
I know a lot of people who are good at doing paste.
Well, actually, I don't think it's really that bad. I think what you've...
Do you have a Macintosh?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, do you have any kind of home computer?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
It's a Hyundai.
Do you do little jobs for your friends? Do you do little things for them? Word processing jobs and things?
No.
Oh. Well, you're way behind the pack.
I'm sorry, but I usually am.
Catch up.
Look at, the other thing I want to mention is, you know, as I mentioned, you know, over the years.
And why aren't any women calling? I'm just going to keep hanging up on people till women call. Because last week we had that problem, didn't we?
Yeah, but
no women called.
There was a very nice female at the end who pointed out that there were no women
calling. No women called.
That's because we're not talking about anything that's interesting to women.
Women don't care about Japan. Hello. Welcome to the air.
I'm not a woman, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
But I totally agree with this other guy on the phone. Like, Japanese and Japan and Germany are beating the United States at their own game.
Well,
And I'm like, I have no sympathy at all for Ford or any other corporation in the United States that's going under because of it.
Well, gee, we know what side your bread's buttered on. Why don't you go work for the
Hello Kitty people, too.
Hello, Kitty.
Hello, I'm a woman.
I don't think so. Mr. Chin.
I'm a very big, busty woman.
Busty.
Who likes a good time occasionally.
And you deserve a good time.
From the looks of you, buddy, you could use a good time.
And listen, you're spending all of your time calling every other radio program on this station.
What are you, who are you talking to?
I feel a little let down, just a little betrayed.
Maybe because we don't like you much anymore, Mr. Green.
I can't even understand what you're saying. You've been sneaking around.
Well, that's too bad, man. I'm branching out.
Where is he calling from? Are you calling?
I'm calling from Tokyo.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna say there's a bit of a problem with the transmission.
Is that better?
That's good. You're on your cordless phone, aren't you?
Yes, and I'm in my day bed, lounging, and the reception isn't good.
Well, how do you feel about this whole discussion we're having concerning race and other countries?
I don't know. Why don't you have Terry Pininko tell us?
That's the second person that's requested that. Maybe Terry will call.
I hope not.
Why?
Her voice bothers me.
Well,
why do we want Terry to call?
We don't.
Well, she's always got an interesting point of view and is talkative and always has something interesting.
Well,
I've already said that, haven't I?
You're being kind.
So does Joan Rivers.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chin. Anything else you want to add to this program?
No, see, this is why I don't call you anymore, man.
Why? Well, because I don't talk to you for 15 minutes?
That's too bad, man. Many, many other people put me on.
And they talk to you for 15 minutes?
Well.
Gerard, am I giving him short shrift here, or is it me?
I think you can afford to be selective, Chris. There's a lot of callers out there. Maybe not today.
It's all right. All right. She moves in mysterious ways.
He's singing U2 songs now. New U2 songs.
He's trying to impress me with that.
Yeah. Okay, what about your Freddie Mercury tribute before we go?
Oh, okay.
Very big in Japan. Queen was huge in Japan. Maybe the biggest band in Japan that's ever come along.
Maybe too
Mama,
huge.
Mama, I don't want to die. Sometimes wish I'd never been born at all. Carry on, nothing really matters. Anyone can see that nothing really matters to me. Goodbye, everybody.
He's gonna keep going.
I've got to go. Got to leave. I know your soul. I'm sorry, I slipped into the Chinese version.
That was very good, though.
Thank you. Any other songs?
No, like? I just want to hear that.
You know, if Queen do ever think about having a new singer.
You know, I go to all the Giant games, and it's going to be funny now when I hear We Will Rock You.
I know.
With
it's
a
not
bunch
gonna,
of beer-swilling rednecks.
It's not going to be the same.
No.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for calling, Mr. Chin.
Okay, Chris.
And don't
hey,
think...
Chris, look for me on Joe Franklin, huh?
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Whew. Man. Hello. Welcome to the air.
You know, people don't know this rock and roll fact, but if it wasn't for Japan, Kiss wouldn't have been as big as they were, because they were huger in Japan than they were here. They were just a stupid bar band from Jersey with cardboard costumes.
Well, I'll tell you know, that's absolutely true. You're absolutely right about that, but any band that goes to Japan that's American gets a reception that American bands just cannot believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember talking to Bob Burt about this one time. He said when he went to Japan with Sonic Youth, the reception that they got was just incredible. He couldn't believe it. He felt like he was in the Beatles, you know.
And cop shoot cop.
I highly recommend this for any American band who's got a an ego that's kind of flagging.
Head
for Japan, exactly.
So there's an ad in the Voice for this thing. I don't know. A lot of people don't know about this. This thing's going on at the Ritz the week of the 21st.
Right.
I called up about it. There's a travel agency that has booked 2 plane loads of Japanese tourists to come to New York for the Christmas week. And there's like 16 Japanese bands playing at the Ritz, and it's like free for the Japanese people. And I think it's the first 500 like round eyes that get there.
Do they refer to them as round eyes in the
air? No, I said that. That's my way of saying, hey, it's okay. I got round eyes.
I have nothing against people with round eyes.
No, I don't either.
Wouldn't marry one, but...
I wouldn't let my sister marry one, but...
Well, it's
weird. It's like all these like wacky Japanese bands that I never heard of, and then they got like five nights at the Ritz for these 16 bands, and there's going to be like a million of these Japanese tourists.
Well, I hate plugging the Ritz, so thank you for calling.
It ain't about a plug for the Ritz. What about the white guys?
Well, you could have said they were playing in a nameless place.
The white guys get to play all the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Oh.
We have some calls here, though. Thanks for calling.
Okay, how many
He's gonna go. He's gonna tell a joke. Hello, welcome to the air. Hello, Kitty.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, well, we were going to, in honor of our Sanrio representative. Hello, Kitty.
Oh, sorry. I turned off the radio.
A woman's calling.
Hey, what do you know about that?
Yeah, I know.
I was driving on the parkway. I'm not even listening anymore. But I'm
Neither
sorry.
Are we.
Listen, I have to apologize for this call because it's sort of out of line.
I have to apologize for my whole career.
Right before you started talking about this Japanese kind of thing, you pushed the wrong button and you played those samples, and you said, hey, you got to stop pushing the wrong buttons around here, or unmarked buttons.
Right.
And on that sampling thing, there was a woman's voice going, mommy, 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 don't go out, they're going to kill you.
Right.
It sounds so familiar. Where is that from? Do you know?
It's from the opening of my show.
Is that the only place I know it from?
Probably.
Although I
got it from the Geraldo show, if I do have to admit that, I got it.
Oh, real? Okay. I must have just heard it on the radio.
Now, you're going to tell Geraldo, right?
For 25,000, yeah.
How do you watch trash like that, Chris? It was the Satan show. I had to watch it. It was the one all about Satanism. It had to be watched. It was not only watched, it was taped.
Oh, those things are pulsing.
I love taping things off of TV like this,
Captain, and for many Americans... Pearl Harbor would be one way of characterizing Japanese behavior, Japanese policy. It suggests all kinds
of things.
Let's
make this faster. Yeah.
But the thing about, I love samples.
Yes?
I love samples. I love Skinny Puppy.
Uh-huh.
But how come they never put where the samples are from on there?
They don't want you to know.
The Japanese
have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also military activities.
Hello, Kitty.
Hi. Do you know that there's a beverage in Japan that's extremely popular, especially among males, where you drink it and your excrement does not smell, and that's the purpose of it.
Oh, like lower stool volume, like those dog foods.
Oh, really?
Kinda
I didn't
like
know
Kino,
this. Did you?
I guess.
Isn't that Snapple? I didn't know this.
Well, what about Rape Man?
Well, I think our Gerard could talk about Rape Man. See, I've only been working for Sanrio for a few weeks, and we had to recall the Rape Man doll.
Well, I was asking.
We had to take it off the market.
Why was that?
There's a lot of people who just didn't think it was very amusing. They didn't think it was a proper thing for kids to be playing with.
Does the Rape Man doll have a mouth, unlike the Hello Kitty doll?
I think it was like in blackface. I think that was the really offensive thing about it, right?
The
Rape Man doll was...
Well, we sold a lot of them up in Westchester. But,
right. It was like Darkie toothpaste before they changed it to Darley, right?
You see, you're asking me to act as an apologist for, a whole culture.
He just takes their money.
Well, I don't know. What department do you work in? Are you in the PR office or are you in marketing?
Product development.
P&R.
P&R. Can I ask a question about Pearl Harbor?
Go ahead.
Is it true that Japan gave a lot of warnings beforehand?
Yes.
Yesterday.
Right here.
They said...
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
See, oh, that was before?
That was broadcast before the attack. No one knows this, but that was actually a Japanese man.
My father always says that. I thought that was after. Are you sure? I thought that was one of the presidents.
Her father's Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This is pretty good.
Roosevelt, yeah.
Yeah. Is that your dad?
Yeah. Well. No, I'm the granddaughter.
Okay.
Roosevelt's my grandfather. Remember that old lady?
Right. Yes, I do. Eleanor. I remember Eleanor Roosevelt, yeah. She was an influence on my life. But anything else you want to add to this discussion?
No, I just wanted to ask that about the warnings, because my husband kind of mentioned it to me.
Okay.
I'm brushing up on my U.S. history.
Had Sanrio been in business back then, I'm sure that Sanrio would have warned the American public.
Well, thank you. I want to
give you more information. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. All right, 201-678-7743 is the number here. How would they have warned them in the form of a toy? I think a greeting card.
Hello, Pearl Harbor. Hello, GI. What would it have been? A Hello, GI doll. 201-678-7743. I'm not sure that we're really shedding any light on this whole thing, so let's see
if
we can get...
Ray Karrison had a really interesting column in the Post today.
It doesn't have kind of a stereotypical ugliness about it in a context that lingers over from Pearl Harbor and from our being enemies, because we're friends now. Enemies, because we're friends now. Harbor and from our being enemies, because we're friends now. Enemies, because we're friends now. From our being enemies, because we're friends now. Friends now, because we're friends now. Because we're friends now. Because we're friends now.
Anyway, there's our president.
I can tell my friends back at Sanrio that I did a radio show with a performance artist.
Well, wasn't that great? So what does Ray Karrison have to say?
Okay, Ray Karrison, always the smartest guy on earth. He's angry about how the TV networks are going to Japan and asking the Japanese for their reaction to the 50th anniversary. He doesn't want to hear what the Japanese have to say. I'm going to quote Ray here. "I don't need to hear General Schwarzkopf describe the Pearl Harbor assault as a masterpiece of planning and execution. Let him tell that to the relatives of those who died. Since when is a stab in the back a masterpiece of execution? Perhaps as a follow-up, the TV networks next will mark the 50th anniversary of the Holocaust by rounding up some Nazi veterans of the gas oven."
Hey, great idea, that Zyklon B. How did you guys ever think of that?
"And give them the opportunity to express what they did and high and how brave and honorable what they did. Perhaps the generals will tell us how bold and imaginative
Wait,
the
is
Nazi...
He, is he pig-biting mad?
Oh, of course he is.
So go ahead.
He's steaming.
Okay.
Well, anyway, he's, you know, just playing the devil's
advocate. I think he's got a very good point, actually. This is with Schwarzkopf, which in German means big dummy. Hello, Kitty.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the air.
Hi. Just one question I thought you might be able to answer for me. Did the Japanese build condos on dioxin sites? Did the Japanese corporations dump toxic waste?
Well, that's two questions.
On
okay.
road sites? Well, it's part of a big question. There's
All right.
a semicolon there. Do they run sweatshops? Do they make workers pick asbestos off the walls without any kind of covering for their faces and mouths? You know?
Are you comparing them to the Mexican government? What's the comparison
here? At Sanrio, they don't do any of those things.
But, no, I was talking about the Japanese, you know, because one thing I always wondered, you know, I think they have more respect for the worker in Japan, and that's one thing that American corporations can't cope with. I mean, I don't think those people are doing all those things because they have to, but I think they sort of want to.
At Sanrio, we don't call them workers. We call them drones.
I'm talking about the Japanese.
Sanrio is a Japanese company.
He works for a Japanese company. He was telling us all about them. But you see, the Japanese worker has cradle-to-grave security. They know that they will never be out of a job. They don't have to worry about where their next paycheck is coming from. They are taken care of from the cradle to the grave. And American workers just... You know, that would just tie them down. They would just feel tied down by that, wouldn't they, Gerard? I mean,
you know, this caller obviously never saw that terrific film Gung Ho, starring Michael Keaton.
Oh, that was a great movie. I saw that.
Where the heartless and cold Japanese ownership comes in, and they take all the personality and character away from the American
and
workers.
And all the fun, exactly.
Yeah, American workers who like to, you know, read the newspaper in the bathroom for 4 hours while they're on the time clock. You know, these cold, heartless Japanese employers, they just don't let them do anything.
I must have been standing in an unemployment line when that movie was around because I never even heard it, but I just got a feeling that...
Well, there's no unemployment offices in Japan, so this is the thing. That's the cultural difference right there.
At least in America, you have the
freedom
to stand
in line. Well, let me guess. That's probably because there's no unemployment, right?
I'm not really at liberty to make that projection. That's a leap.
Hey, I encourage the caller to go to Japan and find out for himself what it's like.
Could you lend me about $5,000? I'll send you a postcard.
Well, perhaps Sanrio could help you out.
Maybe as a Sanrio representative.
I don't know. I was just curious.
Express your differences on international trade on either side.
There's nothing wrong with
that. Totally unacceptable. She said,
"Merry Christmas, employers!"
Okay, you're exciting me too much now. I'm going to get back to dinner.
Thank
Take care.
Bye.
201-678-7743. What are we getting at?
I understand that young man's frustration, but, you know, there's a lot of work out there for people who want it.
You know, they're just lazy. They just don't want to work, which has always been my opinion. And
Goldfingers is hiring.
What is Goldfingers?
Goldfingers, the adult entertainment emporium.
Oh, God. There's an adult entertainment emporium called Goldfingers?
There's two of them.
Really?
And they're hiring.
What are they hiring for? What position?
They want, like, waiters, doormen, busboys, that sort of stuff.
So you'd get to, like, work and see naked babes all day?
Exactly.
They don't have this in Japan.
My roommate went looking for a job there yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you could just, like, carry around
a glass.
A tray full of overpriced drinks and watch naked babes all day.
And in Japan, you probably couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that. There's no such job. There's no equivalent job in Japan. Hello, Kitty.
Welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris. It's Elder Scapegoat Ken.
Hello, Ken.
Hi. I beg to differ with that last caller. From what I have read, it sounds like to be a worker in Japan would be hell.
Why is this now? What have you read?
Well, I have a book that's written by, you know, it was intended for the Japanese market. It's English language, but it's called Salaryman in Japan.
Is this a Sanrio product?
No.
Salaryman?
No.
Oh, okay.
And the salaryman is, you know, like you know, with the a white collar worker would be called in Japan.
Okay.
And it's just all about work and the lifestyle of the salaryman. And what, you know, what Japanese companies do, besides, you know, many do give a lot more job security than American companies, but they basically try to take over the entire life of a Japanese worker. They have all these clubs after work and outings on the weekend.
What do you mean outings? Like, if you're gay, they force you to own up to it or what?
No, they have.
It's like on the weekend. That's what they do. That'd be great.
They have company trips where they play golf and go hiking, and they go flower viewing and drinking and, you know, sake parties, and they have sports days.
Is this sort of like when they come around where I work and ask if you want to be in the Christmas grab bag?
Yeah, except they have like Christmas grab bags and summer picnics. Like.
It just never stops.
Constantly.
It's
constantly.
Yeah. I don't see what's wrong with that.
It sounds horrible to me.
And what about the class structure in Japan? We don't know anything about it, me or the representative from Sanrio. Is there a middle class? Is there a Japanese middle class? Or are we way off base in believing that there is?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, there's a Japanese middle class. Of course there is.
And I mean, what do they do for fun? Do they go anywhere besides with the company, or?
Okay, well, I have here from my book Salaryman, which is it has great badly translated, you know, English. It says a chapter here called Methods of Alleviating Stress. It says Salaryman works hard and is confronted with stress on a daily basis. The following are stress alleviation methods compiled from a survey by a leading Japanese business magazine. Number one, grin and bear it.
Uh-huh.
The Japanese are often said to be less than skillful at recreation and other means of personal enjoyment. Number two, sports. Young salarymen work out their frustrations on the tennis court or baseball diamond, while middle-class salarymen enjoy golfing.
Uh-huh.
Number three, reading. One of the handiest methods is to lose oneself in a comic book. Number four, open up to a confidant. Being able to talk about problems to trustworthy superiors and colleagues is very important.
Where does get a dog? Where does get a dog on that list? Where is take over American markets? Find an American market and exploit it. Is that on that list anywhere?
No.
No.
This is a Japanese book.
Uh-huh. So what's the whole like the basic tilt of this whole book?
That life in Japan is hell.
Really?
Yeah, if you're a worker.
But what about all that money? Don't they make a lot of money?
Yeah, they do, but everything's incredibly expensive there, too, so they don't really have as much disposable income as you might be led to believe. I mean, you always hear about these incredibly inflated prices in Japan.
So what you're saying is that we should not envy the Japanese worker?
I don't.
Really?
Not the least bit, not after reading this book. It sounds very much like your typical workaholic executive job in the United States, only that's the norm. That's what almost everybody has.
So they're all type A personalities.
Yeah.
It's a whole type A society.
Where did you get this book, if we may ask?
From DJ Dorian.
Oh, okay. Because we'd like to, you know, I'd like to get a copy of this. Maybe
here's a great one. Here's a Japanese expression called Miokudaku. Miokazuru and Miokonisuru. And these are terms for working. And they mean, Miokudaku means to crush one's body. It means to work so hard that you crush your body. Miokazuru means to pare down one's body, meaning, and there's a little picture of a Japanese worker being sliced down like an orange or something. And miokonisuru means to make one's body into powder. And there's a picture of a Japanese executive disintegrating into powder. And remember, this is a Japanese book.
So these are good things, though.
Well, they're just trying to give you, you know, I guess a...
Are these states of consciousness that the Japanese worker should endeavor to attain?
They're different states of workaholism.
Some people are ambitious. Some people like to work hard. And not everybody is as resourceful and as imaginative as Ken. There are a lot of people in this country who would love to work in a family atmosphere, who'd like to go on an outing. Who would like to be turned into powder. Especially if it meant you could be mixed into a drink. Most of my friends sit around all day with nothing to do.
Well,
you know,
they could probably rent themselves out to a salaryman to, you know, go out on the holidays and
speak conversational English. How about those
pachinko outings? And
really,
yeah. Well, listen. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a chapter called "A Salaryman's Holidays," and here it tells you what the salaryman does on the weekends. It says, figuring 8 days off per month, the common pattern of the salaryman might be the first Saturday of the month, play golf with superior. The first Sunday, exhausted from golf, sleep all day. The second Saturday, report to the company for holiday work. The second Sunday, take family to the local zoo. The third Saturday, take day trip with coworkers. The third Sunday,
kill coworkers.
Company baseball tournament.
Where's buy an assault weapon? Is that in there? A fully automatic assault weapon.
Fourth Saturday, attend a co-worker's wedding.
Load the fully automatic assault weapon.
Fourth Sunday, entertain client during a round of golf.
Oh, God.
Golf
that
is,
really does sound awful.
Golf's pretty big there, huh?
Yeah, and here there's like chapters on the different club activities. Oh, they have these horrible dinners called Bonenkai and Shinenkai, where they do karaoke singing, and apparently a lot of the salarymen get so stressed out about having to do karaoke that there's all sorts of books on the market on how to stand up and entertain your colleagues at these dinners.
This all sounds like fun to me. Golf, baseball, karaoke.
Oh,
the zoo.
And at the sports day, they have these things called Undokai, which are the sports weekends for the company, where they divide the company up into, like, you know, the red and the blue teams, like color war, basically.
Okay.
Corporate color war. And they have chicken fights. That looks fun. It's called Kibasen.
It's like field day. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah. But they're mandatory. That's the big deal.
Mandatory? Well, if they don't like it, they can move. They can go the way of Pan Am and just not be around anymore. I mean, you know, what's preferable?
Hey, if they want to, you know, live their own life, they can move to America. You're working for a Japanese company. You have to say these things.
Yeah, they also work like 12 hours a day. It's ridiculous.
Like Witness Gerard. Work, 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 work.
Oh, here's a good one. This is in the chapter called Salaryman Types and Categories. General differences in salarymen. Below are a list of the negative aspects of salarymen by generation. This was called Moatsuki Shokogun. It's called the burnout syndrome. It is an illness seen in the middle-aged salarymen who, having devoted themselves entirely to their work, supported Japan's growing economy. Upon reaching the kacho level, which is like the middle management level, they immediately burn out, and they show a Japanese salaryman dead at his desk. They show his, like, body rotting away.
Wow. I'm just stunned. This is stunning.
Oh, it's a fun book. It's really great.
I want this book for Christmas. What?
After hearing Ken's ugly display of Japan bashing, after hearing his poorly disguised Japanese accent, you know what I've realized? That Ken and Mr. Chin are one and the same.
I think you may be onto something there, my friend.
I wouldn't comment on that. I have nothing to say about that.
And do you know that the Mitsubishi Motor Company are the same people who built those fighter planes that flew over Pearl Harbor and killed all of our fine boys? You realize this, of course. Are you driving a Mitsubishi?
I'm just involved with...
Hey, Mr. Salaryman.
I drive a good American car. Hello, I drive a Volkswagen.
Hello, Kitty. Who is driving that Mitsubishi?
Chris T. Hello, yeah. Kitty. He never dropped a bomb on anybody.
Well, you know. We have some people here, some callers.
Okay, I'll go.
Who, thank you, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye to Salaryman.
Hello, Kitty.
Yeah, hi. This is Greg. I had called in last week. If you recall.
Right.
Well, I'm back at Rockville Records. Indie rock is real rock.
Well, we're off that topic. We're talking about Japan.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to say. I think okay. One of the best things that has come out of the whole Japan-America thing is Shonen Knife.
Well, we all said, we said that right at the top of the program. We got that right out of the way.
Smashing new LP.
We got that right out of the way. Smashing, I like that, smashing.
It's available on all three formats.
Okay, thank you.
Man's promoting records.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi, welcome to the air. We missed many phone calls there. I want to just say 201-678-7743 is the phone number. Hello, Kitty.
Hey, do you know who this is?
Who is this?
This is your Uncle Kim Rancourt.
It's Kim. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Chris T., the Paul Harvey of my friends.
Paul Harvey. More like the Rush Limbaugh. You know, I was listening to Rush today. I actually heard him for 15 minutes.
While
I was getting my lunch. No. I heard Rush.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were listening to Getty.
Rush was complaining about how rich people are always picked upon and looked at as the source of all evil.
And ain't it the truth?
He said, as a rich person, he's sick and tired of being picked upon and people singling him out for abuse.
I bet Ken Friedman picks on rich people.
I bet he does.
Can I ask you something?
Sure, Kim.
What is your last name?
My last name? I've never given it out on the air.
You never have?
I've never mentioned it, and I never will.
You never will?
Why is that? Why do you want to know?
I just was interested, actually.
Well, I mean, I know your last name is a prominent part of your lore.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Rancourt.
I'm glad to make it such.
Rancor.
Did I say wanker? Wait a minute here.
I said rancor.
Rancor. Anyway, so what's up, Kim?
Well, I'm just calling you.
By the way, Kim is a member of When People Were Shorter and Lived Near the Water, who did a fabulous show. When I was at Maxwell's, they did their last performance of the Porgy and Bess album, and really something to behold.
Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Well, I love...
You know why I'm calling you?
You're calling about the benefit, right? The Coney Island benefit?
Absolutely, and have we got a show for you.
We were notified in the mail about this. Go ahead.
Yes, we have a show benefiting sideshows by the seashore at Theater for the New City, which is at 155 First Avenue at 9th Street. We are behind in the rent, almost $10,000, and we need your help, Chris T., to tell the good people out there that we have 10 bands for $10.
Among them, this is Wednesday. This is happening Wednesday, December 11th.
This is Wednesday, starting at 8 o'clock.
And,
yes, it's going to be some show.
Advance tickets available at See Here and Pure Platters.
Correct.
And
your groovy armband, and we hope to see
you. Here, Gerard, you run down this list. Who's playing at this benefit? I'll let Gerard do this.
Yes, Gerard.
Yeah, I've only mentioned the show four times today, Kim.
You've discussed this, and I'm wasting my valuable hour.
Well, we'll make it quick. Jack's sister, the Loveless, they're from Scotland, Elevator, Jad Fair. Have Love Child canceled?
Yes, they have.
Okay. Freddie.
We replace them with Kitten.
Okay, Kitten, which Kim Gordon and Julia K. Fritz.
That's correct.
Sanrio will be in touch about the copyright infringement.
Yes.
Freddie, which is a couple people from the old Live Skull band.
Absolutely, Mark C.
Gumball, who I'm told are very up and coming. Cell, the New York band Cell. The Holy Rollers from Washington, D.C. Hydroplane, which features Dean from Galaxy 500 and Justin from The Chills.
Electro recording artist, might I add.
Oh, yeah, Elektra. And the Velvet Monkeys with their big rockin' lineup. And, of course, the band that never go home alone, Surgery.
Surgery.
It's Wednesday, December 11 at the Theater for the New City.
This could really crush your brain, this show.
Tell me,
for
Gerard,
$10.
Who else is on Elektra Records these days?
Who else is on Elektra Records these days? I think Del the Funky Homo Sapien is on Elektra Records, and he's doing very well.
You know, my mom told me a joke today. I thought it was great. Can I tell it?
These two bands go into a bar, and it's something about a benefit, right? Go ahead. No, what's this joke?
You know why the little boy killed his parents?
Because he hated them both.
No, because he wanted to go to the orphanage.
orphanage picnic.
Oh, this is very good. I like that.
Well, thank you so
That's
much.
Very good. Now, if we could come up with a benefit joke, we'd really be in this swing.
Yes.
You know, I have a question for Kim.
Absolutely.
Kim, aren't you a little concerned about money being taken out of the local economy with Copernicus playing the theater for the new city this weekend?
You know, when I saw that, I thought, why not add him to the bill? In fact, I'm hosting, and we actually should have had Copernicus host.
I mean, what with Copernicus playing three or four nights this week, I mean, who's going to have money to go to your benefit?
That's true. I mean, like, you know, Copernicus is
now,
God.
Now, Kim,
in
we've got 6 minutes left here, and you've joined us during our Japan bashing hour.
Well, I'm done now. I just wanted to remind the good listeners out there that, yes, it is happening, and, yes, it is the place to be.
Well, thank you, Salaryman.
Thank you so much, the both of you.
Okay.
I love the both of you, and I'll be talking with you shortly.
Okay, bye, Kim.
See you, man.
That's Kim Rancourt of When People Were Shorter and Lived Near the Water and talking about the benefit for Coney Island Sideshows by the Seashore, a very capable and wonderful organization that deserves your money. If you can go down there and spend a dollar per band, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Hello, Kitty.
How you doing?
Okay.
Just wanted to get back into Japan bashing. I thought it was a great idea for this
okay.
weekend. Question for you. I think your last caller was right. The Japanese employee is not a very happy individual, and especially the youth.
Gerard is looking aghast.
Aghast.
Yeah, I'm very happy. He's a happy man. Hear the happiness in my voice.
Hmm. I've worked for Japanese companies for like 5 years. I finally got out. But the Japanese workers, especially the young guys, are really looking to get out of that scene in a big way.
What are they going to do?
Well, they just want it to be more, you know, like we are here in the States, a little less
out of
intense.
Work?
No. A little less intense.
A little more.
You know what the problem is, sir? America has gone soft.
Absolutely.
So much permissiveness. So many of these personal freedoms. Everybody's doing their own thing. And in Japan,
they
work together as a team.
Do you know what they have in Korea now? This is an entrepreneurial idea whose time has come. The Koreans, Ken Friedman, Salaryman. I will call him Salaryman from this day forth. he told me, and I didn't know this, that the Koreans hate the Japanese and vice versa.
Uh-huh.
That the Japanese hate the Koreans. This is from the Associated Press. Seoul, South Korea. First it was the Hitler beer hall. Now it's the Gestapo coffee house. For the second time in weeks, the German embassy said Wednesday that it has asked the Korean government to force establishments to change names deemed detrimental to Germany's image and national reputation. There is a coffee house in South Korea, which is going by the name of the Gestapo. And it says here that Germany holds great satisfaction for Koreans, whose nation is still divided. Many Korean students study German in school, and German-style restaurants abound in the city of 10.5 million people. This is Seoul. And the newspaper Dong-A Ilbo, it says here, Dong-A Ilbo, reported that the Gestapo, named after Nazi Germany's secret police, planned to keep its name, but to use Korean Hangul characters instead of Roman letters so as not to offend Germans. But, you know, there was another German complaint about this beer hall called Hitler, and they had planned to change their name to Rhine, the name of Germany's major river.
Am I mistaken, or isn't club magnate Rudolph opening a Hitler right here in New York City?
Is he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. You know,
it's right off the West Side Highway.
Club Hitler?
And it's very exclusive, Club Hitler.
Really?
Yeah.
Only Nazis go, or what?
Only the good-looking and elegant.
Do they separate you at the doorway? Do they separate you from your wife and children? I mean, what do they do? If you're healthy, do they send you one place?
Look, I'm very happy working for Sanrio, but if Rudolph is listening, I would very much like to be involved as a creative person at
Club Hitler. Well, this beer hall, the Hitler beer hall, advertised itself with swastikas, blinking neon Hitler signs, and Hitler matchbooks and pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And the German embassy said it considered the use of these items detrimental and hurtful to German feelings. Like, you could hurt a German's feelings. Give me a break.
What about that place, The American Way, that's right here in our area? It's in Midtown Manhattan.
Hey, what about Kentucky Fried Chicken? I object to all of this Kentucky
that hurts my feelings.
Stuff. I object to this whole Colonel fella with the, you know. Yeah. What about all that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Carla. We jumped all over you. You had
no,
something.
But that's, I mean, that's all. I got to ask you, that you were saying at Sanrio that you were pretty comfortable there and you really didn't have to deal with many of the Japanese guys.
Well, not yet, but as I work my way up the corporate ladder, I'm sure I'll have to.
What do you find your employees saying, the ones that do have to deal pretty closely with them?
Well, you know, I mean, most of them have had their tongues cut out, so I never, you know, I'll never find out.
Well, they all get lots of free plush toys around Christmas time, so they're not really complaining.
Yeah.
Is what we hear. Anything else you wanted to ask?
Nope, I just I thought it was a great idea, a great concept, so well, keep up the good work.
Thank you. 201-678-7743
is the number here, and we've got another 2 minutes before the Hip Bone program with your all-purpose jock, William Berger, joins us. And I don't know, Bill, have you ever been to Japan? Has Uncle Wiggily known the pleasure of landing on Japanese soil to hordes of screaming Japanese fans? He's shaking his head no. Okay. As a salary man, you should try it. Hello, salary man.
I think it's time that we get past all these petty prejudices and we learn to, you know.
Well, we knocked the Japanese, we knocked the Koreans, we knocked the Germans today, and who's left?
I mean, I think it's time for Americans to stop feeling so damn sorry for themselves.
And feel sorry for somebody else for a change.
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
One final thought. I think that our government actually sold us out. The Reaganomics in the 80s actually did it. You know, if you think about it, you know, where's all this stuff coming from? The government let it in, not us. You know, I'm sure, you know, I'm listening to your stereo, you know, my stereo. It's Japanese.
Why are you listening to my stereo?
Not your stereo.
Okay.
I mean, what type of equipment do you have? You know, your board you're running, you know?
Oh, this is a radio systems.
It's a Sanrio.
Ooh, okay. All right. At least
well,
American.
I'm sorry. It says hello, radio systems. I missed that. You're right.
But, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, we have to blame the government, number one.
But why should I think about it? I don't want to think about it.
I don't either. Well, at least I got a job. Thank God for that. I fixed Japanese stuff. You know? All their pagers and everything.
I thought it never breaks.
Right. Your paycheck doesn't bounce, does it, pal?
No, it doesn't bounce.
I want to leave you with something happy because we have to go. Okay,
okay, thank you.
Take good thoughts. Thank you, Gerard, for joining us, our Sanrio representative. Stay tuned for the Hip Bone.
I love this scene, don't you?
I couldn't get through to you. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, I couldn't get through to you.
Yeah?
And so I don't know what to do.
What's the matter?
I couldn't get through.
Who is it?
It's me.
Who is you?
It's me, Billy.
What happened to Bill?
Moved out to WMFU.
He joined the Illuminati.
Gee, what's the matter with Billy? He looks kind of spaced out.
The signs are often misunderstood.
I bet he's on something.
It's not what you think.
He's dead. You got it? Now how the hell are we going to get out of this?
By bringing William back to life and having him walk once more with us in our great work.